Some people thought she might have strayed there of her own accord, for she was of the toddling age. The prevailing belief was that she had been purposely left by a party of Texans whose canvas-covered wagon, late in the day, had crossed the ferry that Cotton Mays kept just below the plantation. In time, Madame Valmond abandoned every speculation but the one that Desiree had been sent to her by a beneficent providence to be the child of her affection, seeing that she was without child of the flesh. For the girl grew to be beautiful and gentle, affectionate and sincere, the idol of Valmond. It was no wonder, when she stood one day against the stone pillar in whose shadow she had lain asleep 18 years before, that Armand Aubigny, riding by and seeing her there, had fallen in love with her. That was the way all the Aubignys fell in love, as if struck by a pistol shot. The wonder was that he had not loved her before, for he had known her since his father brought him home from Paris, a boy of 8, after his mother died there. The passion that awoke in him that day, when he saw her at the gate, swept along like an avalanche, or like a prairie fire, or like anything that drives headlong over all obstacles. Monsieur Valmond grew practical and wanted things well considered, that is, the girl's obscure origin. Armand looked into her eyes and did not care. He was reminded that she was nameless. What did it matter about a name when he could give her one of the oldest and proudest in Louisiana? He ordered the corbeil from Paris, and contained himself with what patience he could until it arrived. Then they were married. Madame Valmond had not seen Desiree and the baby for 4 weeks. When she reached La Brie, she shuddered at the first sight of it, as she always did. It was a sad-looking place, which for many years had not known the gentle presence of a mistress, old Monsieur Aubigny having married and buried his wife in France, and she having loved her own land too well ever to leave it. The roof came down steep and black like a cowl, reaching out beyond the wide galleries that encircled the yellow stuccoed house. Big solemn oaks grew close to it, and the thick-leaved, far-reaching branches shadowed it like a pall. Young Aubigny's rule was a strict one, too, and under it his negroes had forgotten how to be gay, as they had been during the old master's easy-going and indulgent lifetime. The young mother was recovering slowly, and lay full length, in her soft white muslins and laces, upon a couch. The baby was beside her, upon her arm, where he had fallen asleep at her breast. The yellow nursewoman sat beside a window, fanning herself. Madame Valmond bent her portly figure over Desiree and kissed her, holding her an instant tenderly in her arms. Then she turned to the child.
"This is not a baby," she exclaimed in startled tones.
French was the language spoken at Valmond in those days.
"I knew you would be astonished," laughed Desiree, "at the way he has grown. The little cochon de lait. Look at his legs, mamma, and his hands and fingernails, real fingernails. Sandrine had to cut them this morning. Isn't it true, Sandrine?"
The woman bowed her turbaned head majestically.
"Merci, madame."
"And the way he cries," went on Desiree, "is deafening. Armand heard him the other day as far away as La Blanche's cabin."
Madame Valmond had never removed her eyes from the child. She lifted it and walked with it over to the window that was lightest. She scanned the baby narrowly, then looked as searchingly at Sandrine, whose face was turned to gaze across the fields.
"Yes, the child has grown. Has changed," said Madame Valmond slowly, as she replaced it beside its mother. "What does Armand say?"
Desiree's face became suffused with a glow that was happiness itself.
"Oh, Armand is the proudest father in the parish. I believe chiefly because it is a boy to bear his name, though he says not, that he would have loved a girl as well. But I know it isn't true. I know he always says that to please me and Mama,"
she added, drawing Madame Valmond's head down to her and speaking in a whisper.
"He hasn't punished one of them, not one of them, since the baby is born. Even Negrillon, who pretended to have burnt his leg that he might rest from work. He only laughed and said Negrillon was a great scamp. Oh, Mama, I'm so happy. It frightens me."
What Desiree said was true. Marriage, and later the birth of his son, had softened.